Hey everyone, welcome to the Money's Never Funny podcast, the number one financial literacy podcast in the world. Thanks for coming back again to listen, learn, and fight back. I'm your host, Dave Roussel, and I teach you how to be financially free. I've never understood why people tolerate bullies. The banks are bullying, and the only reason they do it is because you don't know how to fight back. Hello, Dave Roussel, host of the Money's Never Funny podcast, and I show you how to ensure your money never gets funny and your change never gets strange. I talk all things financial literacy and money management because the truth of the matter is, it's not what you make, but what you do with what you make. This is episode number 2, and it's getting ready to get real because I'm going to expose you to some truths. They're hard to hear, hard to swallow, but once you understand them, they're hard to ignore. But remember, it's all about growing your level of financial literacy. And the things I'm covering today is where the rubber hits the road. And I want you to take notes if you can. If you can't, hey, no big deal. You can always come back to this episode and listen as many times as you like. So the first thing I'm going to talk about today is what we call fractional reserve banking. Now, fractional reserve banking will really make you upset because once you understand it and what it does for banks, you'll realize how banks really work. We're also going to talk about the interest rates on savings accounts at banks and credit unions. This is another one that will get under your skin when you realize what they're doing, but there is a remedy. We're going to talk about what we call inflation, which is the hidden killer of people's wealth because it quietly drains the buying power from each dollar that you earn. We're going to talk about budgeting and why it's so important. Then we're going to talk about one of the tools you can use to start fighting back, and it's the high yield savings account. Probably one of the best ways to start turning things around and getting a leg up on the financial systems. And lastly, we're going to talk about investing to beat inflation and the interest rates that most banks pay. So let's get into it. I often wonder why people tolerate bullies. I mean, one of the lessons we learn early in life is that bullies only understand one language and one thing, and that's getting smacked in the mouth. And it's exactly the same with financial institutions. You may not realize it, but they're actually bullying you. And the only reason they do it is because you don't understand how to fight back. So let's talk about my first topic today, which is fractional reserve banking. If you've never heard that phrase before, let me introduce you to this mess. Fractional reserve banking is the idea that banks only have to keep a small percentage of customers' deposits on hand. Usually it's about 10%. So if you deposit $1,000 into your local bank, the bank is only required to keep $100 on hand. And what do they do with the other $900 or 90%? They invest it or make loans to other customers and earn themselves 10 to 20%. Now, that wouldn't be bad if they offered you and I, their customers, a decent rate on their savings account. But usually most of your local banks, your big box banks, they offer less than 1% on their products. So banks make themselves rich from the money that you and I, the customers, deposit. They might give us 0.25% to 0.5% interest on the money and use your money and my money to get 10 to 20% interest for themselves by investing the money and making loans to other people. Now, mind you, they have no money. All the money they use to invest and to make loans comes from you, their customers. And let's not even talk about the people who aren't qualified to get a bank loan, right? So you go and deposit money in your local bank. They keep 10% on hand, invest and loan out the rest of the money to make money for themselves. And when you need a loan, because you've had credit issues, you can't get a loan from the bank that you are making rich. That's a special kind of relationship there. It's almost criminal, right? But if it's legal and you don't know how to fight back, hey, no big deal, right? And the banks have been doing it for years, right? So let's also talk about the interest rates, okay? And that's the interest rates on their products. While banks don't mind charging 10 to 20% interest on the loans they make to people, most banks pay less than 1% on their savings or checking accounts. The credit unions might pay slightly higher, but they're not much better. Banks might pay 0.5% and the credit unions might pay 0.75%. But that's not nearly good enough. And again, it's not a big deal if you don't care about the fact that they make themselves rich off your back, but I'm sure most people do. Offering 0.5% to 1% interest to customers while they make 10 to 20% from loans is almost criminal. Or is it? If you don't know how the system works and have a low level of financial literacy, then it doesn't seem like a big deal. But as you develop and grow in this area of understanding money, you will be shocked and you'll be furious and upset. Let's also talk about what we call inflation. This is a silent killer of people's ability to grow their wealth and your next big headache when it comes to your finances. Now, if you don't know about inflation, it's the normal increase in the cost of goods and services over time. The federal government likes for inflation to increase from year to year, maybe about 2 to 3%, which means the things you buy are always getting more and more expensive, which means your money doesn't have as much buying power. For example, let's say you actually do have a savings account, and that savings account is in a traditional savings account, which pays less than 1%. So you're not getting any kind of decent return on your money being in that account. But you think you're doing great. At least you're saving. The problem is you're not accounting for the increased cost of things you buy because of inflation. While it's always good to be saving, it's useless if the money you're saving doesn't have as much buying power as it used to. For example, let's say it's January 2023. You need to buy a loaf of bread, and the bread costs $2.35 before taxes. Now, at that time, you could buy two loaves of bread for $5. Fast forward to October 2024, and now the same loaf of bread costs $2.95 per loaf before inflation. Now you can't get the same two loaves of bread for that $5 because your money has less buying power. That's inflation. So over time, your money has less buying power because of inflation. And that's the reason you must always look for financial tools that offer a greater rate of return. So we talked about fractional reserve banking. We've talked about inflation. That's two things already that should concern you when it comes to your financial life. Let's talk about the next thing, and that is budgeting. And this is where you can do something about all of this. This is where you can start fighting back against the system. A system that is not really interested in your financial security, your financial stability, your financial comfort, and your quality of life. They're only interested in theirs. And it all starts with your budget. I'm talking about having an intimate and ongoing relationship with your budget where you think about your budget daily and you are constantly thinking of ways to keep your expenses low or thinking of how you can cut your expenses. That's the key. If you're not familiar with what a budget is, it is a simple tool to monitor and track your day-to-day financial life. Your budget is where you keep up with your income, no matter how many sources, your expenses, and all the spending or money matters that you deal with daily. A budget list usually lists your income from any and all sources. It lists your regular expenses. And it's what you refer to when you have to decide if you should take on any kind of new ongoing expense or a one-time expense. You have to know if it's within your budget. And you should refer to your budget frequently, often, and daily. We're talking about your quality of life. We're talking about your financial security. We're talking about your financial stability. And the number one thing you always want to be referring to is your budget. Is it in my budget? Is it going to cause me financial strain? Is it going to ruin my financial life? And the key to a good budget is that your expenses must always be less than your income. As a matter of fact, the wider the gap between your income and your expenses, the better off you are. Once you have a healthy budget and there's a big gap between your income and your expenses, you're now in a prime position to start saving and investing. And how do you achieve this huge gap between your income and your expenses? You simply live well beneath your means, which means you should have a sufficient amount of income left at the end of each month to pay your bills. If that's not the case, then there are some issues that need to be addressed. And it must be fixed right away. Making a commitment to living well below your means is the key. Now, there are numerous types of budgets out there, and I don't care which one you actually choose or use. I honestly think it's really important that people create a budget based on their income and expenses, that they make sure it's a healthy budget and start following it right away. That's the start of getting yourself financially free and financially stable and being financially secure. Now, let's talk about one of the most important and one of the most powerful tools you can start use to fighting back. And that's what we call the high yield savings account. We talked about fractional reserve banking. We talked about the horrible interest rates that banks and credit unions pay. We've talked about inflation, the silent killer of buying power, and we talked about budgeting. Now let's talk about one of the most important lessons you can learn about money, and that's saving. Holding on to some of what you earn. I talked about the horrible interest rates that banks and credit unions pay. So what gives? I'm sure you're thinking, how do I get ahead if the banks won't pay a decent interest rate? Well, it's not all banks and not all of their products. One of the best things people can do once they've ensured they have a healthy budget is to start saving. And the best place to start saving is what we call an online bank that offers a high yield savings account. Unlike the big box banks in your local neighborhood, most online banks have fewer branches, which means less overhead and less operating costs. That means they can afford to share more of their profits with their customers. It's easy to find a high yield savings account that pays between 4 to 6%. This is much better than what your local bank and will help your savings grow at a much faster rate than your local bank. This also helps you fight against the negative effects of inflation. So with this one tool, you're fighting against the system in two ways. You're beating the banks at their own game and you're beating inflation. Now, there are times when inflation rises above its normal levels, but those don't last that long and they're rare. In the last 32 years, inflation has risen above 4% four of the last 32 years. There are other tools out there that are similar, that offer similar interest rates as high yield savings accounts, like CDs or certificates of deposit or money market funds. Problem is they usually have high terms. They usually have terms that are less appealing than a high yield savings account. Or most have high minimum deposits and are only accessible for a fixed period of time. That's not the case with a high yield savings account. So if you're ready to start saving, start now and start using a high yield savings account. One of the places I look at when I'm maybe looking for a new account that maybe a high yield savings account is I go to Raisin.com. Raisin.com is a platform that lists many online banks that offer great rates of returns on their products. Now, let me be clear, and I need to put this disclaimer on there. I have no professional affiliation with Raisin.com. I have no relationship whatsoever with Raisin.com other than I've used the platform. They don't know me. So I am not a paid endorsee or anything like that. Okay. I am a satisfied customer of their platform. I would recommend if you do nothing else, just go on there and play around. Go to Raisin.com. Look at all of the banks that they kind of list products about and just see which ones offer no minimum deposit for the great rates of return they have or small deposit for whatever. Okay. It's not going to kill you to take 20 minutes and look through there. And again, once again, here's my disclaimer. I have no professional relationship whatsoever with Raisin.com. They don't know me, but I have used the platform before and I have been very satisfied. Okay. And I have used the local credit union as a savings account for years. And there is no comparison between the rate at which the online savings account, high yield savings account, that savings account grows and the one in my local credit union. It's not even a comparison, right? Okay. Now let's talk about investing. Now, if you made it to this point and where you have a healthy budget, you're saving on a regular basis in a high yield savings account and you're seeing your savings grow, it's now time to start investing. All the things I've discussed so far are great places to start in growing your financial literacy and getting you going towards being financially stable. But at some point, if you really want your wealth to grow, you're going to have to start investing. There are many ways to invest. There are mutual funds, individual stocks, ETFs or exchange traded funds, and government backed bonds. But let's be clear, nothing about investing is gambling or playing the stock market. These are phrases I've heard people use before, playing the stock market, whatever that means, right? Investing is serious business that can bring great rewards or great pain. It simply depends on your understanding a few fundamental ideas. And as biggest idea of them all is, should I invest or shouldn't? Trust me, you should. The biggest thing to be decided is if you have the time and the patience to learn how to analyze stocks and do all the legwork yourself, which would take anywhere from 6 months to a year, or do I want to take the easy route and invest using the assistance of a financial advisor? I'll share my recommendations on those with you at another time. But I will say this, at a minimum, if you want your wealth to grow, if you really want to see your money work for you, you must invest. Hey, that's all I have for you now. We covered a lot today to get you on the road to growing your financial literacy, and there's a lot more to come. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you've gotten something out of it. If you didn't, if you missed something, go back and listen to the episode again. They're always available on your favorite podcast platform, iHeartRadio, any of them, whichever one you listen to, these episodes are available, okay? I'm Dave Roussel, and this is the Money's Never Funny podcast, where we talk all things financial literacy and money management, because when you get the knowledge and start to learn, your money never gets funny and your change never gets strange. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and tune in for all future episodes.